thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Are we ready? In the darkness, you could hear the crying of women, the wailing of infants, and the shouting of men. Some prayed for help, others wished for death, but still some imagined that there were no gods left and that the universe was plunged into eternal darkness. Pliny the Younger, in AD 79, wrote this about Pompeii. It's the time when Mount Vesuvius erupted. It buried the whole city in 6 meters of a carpet of molten lava. It wasn't so much of a sleeping volcano as a violent, deadly volcano. It suddenly and unexpectedly exploded, and it snatched the lives of over 2,000 men, women, and children in the city alone that fateful day. However, it's reckoned that the total number of deaths in the whole region were actually more like about 15 or 16,000 people. And the scariest thing about this natural disaster is the speed that without mercy it wiped out these precious souls. For a recent study estimates that the volcanic ash and gases took less than 20 minutes to engulf the entire city. The truth is that the inhabitants of Pompeii weren't ready for this event. And even though the warning signs were there, even though it had been rumbling and smoking for quite some time, even though they knew that someday it would happen, they didn't take heed. They didn't take it seriously. They weren't prepared and they weren't ready. Now, I'm sure most of you will remember the song by Larry Norman, "I Wish We Had All Been Ready," or the movie A Thief in the Night, both of which centered on the rapture and how so many people weren't ready for the Lord's return. They were both used as a great evangelistic tool to get the unsaved to think about their eternal salvation. But church family, this morning, as followers of Jesus, are we ready? Are we ready not only for the Lord's return, but are we ready to serve him? Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we willing to serve the Lord? And will the Lord say to us one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Let's pray that he will say that to us. Can you turn with me, please, this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to read 6 or 7 verses, and then we're going to look at the message this morning. Luke chapter 12, please, verse 35. Thanks for the watermark. Okay, I think you're all there. So, Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. And when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We thank God for the public reading of his word and his precious word this morning. Folks, let's be careful that we aren't caught unexpectedly. Let's be careful that we're not caught unprepared or that we're caught lacking in any way when either the Lord comes for us or calls us home. Can I suggest to you this morning that there are four things that we can practice that will help us to be ready to meet our Lord and our Saviour? And that's worked for me. Thank you. First of all, keep your sword sharp. Keep your sword sharp. In Japan, the samurai are taught to always keep their sword sharp. Instead of waiting for battle to manifest and then readying themselves, the samurai believe in being prepared at all times, to constantly have their sword ready for use. And so the question this morning for all of us, including myself, is, are we keeping our sword sharp? Are we in a state of readiness? Are we fully prepared for battle? Sharpening the sword is an ancient phrase that at its foundation identifies the importance of preparation and self-care. We know the importance of that today more than ever, don't we, about self-care. In other words, we need to be careful and look after ourselves. I know there are many people who are accursed today, and that can be a very difficult and a very exacting thing to do, and it's important to do that. But quite often it's the carers who need cared for as well, because they become physically exhausted in what they do. So we need to look after ourselves. We need to be keeping our mind and our emotions in check. Most of us will keep our physical appearance well because that's what people see. But are we keeping our sword sharp spiritually? Are we keeping the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, are we keeping it sharp? Are we keeping it sharp in our minds? Are we keeping it sharp in our hearts? Are we ready in season and out of season, as Paul encourages us to be? Are we always prepared to give an answer, as Peter encourages us to do, to every man who asks us for a reason for the hope that is within us? Are we keeping the sword of our emotions sharp? Looking after our mental health should be a huge priority. Saturating our minds in the Word of God will keep us on track. Feasting our minds on the truth of the Scripture. We had a great feast last night, didn't we? All those chicken goujons or whatever they were absolutely beautiful. Sometimes you go places and, oh, the chicken is like the lowest grade. It was beautiful last night. But are we feasting our minds on the truth of Scripture rather than the lies of the enemy? Pastor Michael said a great thing last night, that he was somewhere, because he was a pastor in a church for many years. In fact, he was my pastor for many years in Portadown. And somebody came up and said, you know, you're not very good at doing something. He said, thanks very much for that. He says, the devil told me that earlier. So we need to feast our minds on the truth of God, not on the lies of the enemy. So let's make sure that we keep our sword sharp. The second piece of advice this morning for all of us is, keep your lamp burning. It was verse 35 that we read just a few moments ago in Luke 12, where it says, be dressed for readiness and keep your lamps alight, or keep them burning. Are we keeping our lamp burning? You don't need me to tell you that it's a very dark place out there. spiritually. Thankfully, we have the light of the world within us, don't we? You know, this trip to Israel, oh, we'd love to go to it, but we'll obviously have to chat. But you think of where Jesus walked and where he talked, and I found that when I was there 4 years ago, that it brought it all to life. It brought scripture to life. You think of Jesus being the light of the world. He dwells within us, doesn't he, by his Holy Spirit. So are we keeping our lamps burning? And if we are, how brightly are we shining for Jesus? Let's not get caught out, church family. Let's not get caught out like those five foolish virgins who hadn't planned ahead, who hadn't enough oil in their lamps, and their lamps went out while they were waiting for the bridegroom. But rather, let's be wise. Let's be prepared. Let's be constantly ready and waiting like the five wise virgins who had plenty of oil. They were wise, they were ready. Their lamps were always burning because they had plenty of oil in reserve. So can I ask you the question this morning? What have you got in reserve? Have you plenty of oil in the tank? Now that cold weather, you need plenty of oil in the oil tank, don't you? And the price of oil, my goodness, I think it has come down a little, which is a help. But in this cold weather, we need plenty of oil in our oil tanks to keep our houses warm and our churches beautifully warm this morning. We have the Holy Spirit, don't we, dwelling within us. Is the Holy Spirit burning in your hearts? Remember the two that went to Emmaus? And Jesus joined them. They didn't know that it was him. What did they say afterwards? Did not our hearts burn within us? Can we keep the lamp burning brightly for the Lord? We have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So let's keep the lamp of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in our hearts. Let's be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. I think Paul says in Ephesians, be being filled. It's a present continuous. It's not a one-off situation or event. Let's walk in the Spirit and let's keep our lamps burning. Thirdly, keep your eyes focused. Now, I had to laugh at Mark. He's a character, isn't he? Huh? Who needs to wear glasses? Put your hand up, please, if you need to wear glasses. Okay, put your hands down. Put your hand up if you have to wear your glasses all the time. Okay. Put your hands up, like Mark, if you've got a pair of glasses with only one leg. I don't wear glasses all the time. I need them for driving and watching the telly. But you know, it's hard to focus if your glasses are dirty, aren't they? It's hard to focus if your glasses are dirty. You know, I told you last night, I'm into motorbikes, and it's not so nice on a day like that. But you see, during the summer, you go out, and you just, you could be anywhere. But the problem with a really nice day is you get the flies. And depending on what speed you're doing, the flies are going to hit your visor. Very important that you keep the visor cleaned. Mark told us a funny story last night where we're just kind of wrapping up. And we sat down, I think there was 8 or 10 of us. And of course, you took a bus one morning from somewhere to Macrafelt. And you put the wee thing, no water. No water. And you stopped. And whenever you could, you got a wee bottle and you got the windscreen, and there was a man standing waiting to get into the bus, and you said, oh, stand aside one wee moment, I don't want to soak you. And the next thing, with these wipers, the man got soaked. Am I right in saying that? You see, we need to keep our glasses clean. It's no good if our glasses are dirty. A young couple moved into a new house. The next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman saw her neighbour hanging the washing out. "That laundry isn't very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better soap powder," the lady said. Her husband just looked on and remained silent. Every time her neighbour hung her washing out to dry, the young woman made the same comments. A month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice, clean wash on the line and said to her husband, "Look, she's finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this." The husband replied, "I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows." So it is with life. What we see when watching others depends on the clarity of our window. Can we keep our eyes focused? Can we keep our eyes focused on the right stuff? As the writer to Hebrews encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking on to Jesus. You see, it's hard to focus on Jesus when our eyes are on our circumstances. And we all have circumstances, every single one of us. It's hard to focus on Jesus when your eyes are fixed in the past. I heard somebody say recently, when you're driving a car, you've got the windscreen to look out through. You've got the rear view mirror. And the rear view mirror is that size compared to the windscreen. That should be our focus. We should be looking forward instead of looking back. It's hard to focus on Jesus when our eyes find fault with others, just like the woman with the dirty laundry. The secret for being ready to meet Jesus, I believe, is also to fix our eyes on him, watching and waiting for his return. Lastly, can we keep our nets mended? Keep your nets mended. My late father loved his little sayings and his little proverbs. And he used this one a lot in car businesses. You know, our background is car business. It was third generation family business. And I was in the car business for over 25 years. And he used to say this: when you're not fishing, you're mending your nets. The context was that of a salesman. You see, the average salesman will sit back and wait for the customer to come into the showroom. They wait for the fish to jump into the net. The best salesmen, however, they go out. They bring the customer into the showroom. The best salesmen ring people, email people, go out. They knock people's doors. They ask for the sale. They are proactive. They keep busy and they keep active. When they aren't busy, they're mending their nets. They trawl through their order books so that nobody falls through the gaps. Just like a great fisherman who makes sure that when he's not fishing, he mends his nets. Why? So that when he does catch a fish, that it doesn't escape through a hole in the net. During the week, we visited Lawrence and Helen McFeely, and we learned that Lawrence was a great fisherman and that he had great patience. It takes great patience to be a great fisherman. And likewise, brothers and sisters, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as children of the Most High God, we need to have not only patience, but we need to have determination. When we think of those lost souls, God forbid that we're only an inward-looking church. May we be outward-looking. May we pray constantly for the lost. May we look for opportunities to get out and witness to people. So as I bring this into land this morning, and I don't mean the fish, how good are we at mending our nets? How diligent are we at being ready for the Lord's return? Are we being proactive in bringing people to Jesus? Is there somebody on your heart who you can invite to church tonight? Maybe there is. Maybe there's somebody who Maybe the Lord will just lay on your heart this afternoon. It might only take a wee text. Might take a wee phone call. Something like that. Will you come along with me tonight? We need to be proactive. So there you have it, folks. Four areas that we can practice as we journey with Jesus. And as we wait for either our home call or for his glorious return, can we keep our sword sharp? Can we keep the word of God sharp in our hearts and in our minds? Can we keep our lamps burning? Can we keep the presence of the Holy Spirit a reality, a present continuous, a daily experience? Can we keep our eyes focused? Yeah, listen, we need to take the glasses off and give them a wee wipe every so often. We need the water in the windscreen water bottle to make sure that the windscreen is kept clean. That's life. Can we keep our nets mended? Can we be proactive? Can we be active today, not only in praying for the lost, but in actively seeking people and asking them to come to church? Maybe meeting them for a coffee in a neutral venue, something like that. And if we do all that, I believe that we will be better prepared. We will be more ready in season and out of season for the Lord's return. God bless you all. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.